Bruchim Havoyim to Parsha Insights, Parsha Shoftim, the beginning of Chodesh Elul, as we approach Rosh Hashanah Tovshin Peivav, Habea Aleinu L'Toivo. We should tackle all the Zoycha. Already once it was Chamisha Osir Bo'ov, we start wishing each other Eksiva V'Chasima Toivo, Egebenshte Gezunta Yor. Imagine we're able now to give a shiur. Not only Parsha Shoftim, but the beginning of Elul. We didn't have a shiur for the last few weeks, so it makes it even more wonderful to be able to be here together in the Heichal. And all those who are listening live will hear the recording when it's sent out. This year it said, L'zecher Nishmas u'le'ili Nishmas, Rebecca Basarina and Leon Ben Rachel. May their neshamotayers have a lichtig Gan Eden. I want to thank all the people who are here as we resume after a few weeks. Chazdei Hashem Chesed Elyon. It is a wonderful, wonderful feeling to be able to resume the shiur. And as we said, especially the beginning of Elul. So we'll try to tie in the parsha to Inyanim of Elul. We already mentioned your parents' name in great detail. One week you'll be zeicha to hear their names live. I know, that's why I said live, and you'll be in the Heichal and answer Amen. There are a number of acronyms that Elul stands for. Each year we try to come up with either a new acronym or a different twist. Obviously, the most famous one for Elul is that the Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed stands for Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li. I am to my beloved and my beloved is to me, which is a reference to our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And of course, one of the prime avodas of Chodesh Elul is to work on our Yiras Shemayim, which should bring us to greater Avas Hashem and ultimately to a tremendous level of Dveikus B'Hashem, clinging to Hashem and being dovuk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There is an acronym that I mentioned in years past, but when I gave part of this shiur, the Shabbos before this past in Montreal, I thought of a little bit of a twist, and I want to use this to begin the shiur and tie it into the beginning of the parsha and the end of the parsha. In previous years, we mentioned that Elul stands for a very powerful way that we have to relate to people. Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed. We have to be Ohov Lemala, which first means beloved, Lamala, up in Shemayim, meaning that Kadosh Baruch Hu finds us to be Ahum, V'nechmod Lamata, and be someone who is cherished by people in this world. And that's an acronym that we've said in the past. We'll say it again quickly. Ahuv Lamala, V'nechmod Lamata, which is the acronym of Elul, that we during Elul have to work on becoming that person that is Ohuv Lemala, and is Nechmad Lemata. But in preparing for that shiur two Shabbosos ago in Canada, I thought maybe we could explain the words a bit differently, and I think there's a lot of truth to this explanation. Ohuv Lemala, we have to become someone who is beloved by Hashem. How does one accomplish that? How does one become Ohuv Lemala? V'nechmod lemata, by becoming someone who's nechmod lemata, who's cherished by people, who's kind to people, who other people feel, I need you, you're indispensable to me. In other words, we're reading it as one long comment. The way to become ohov lemala is by being a person who's v'nechmod lemata. When we will be v'nechmod lemata, cherished by people because of the way we treat them, then you become Ohuv Lemala. And that brings us to the beginning of the parasha. If a person takes a look, there's a very, very powerful pasuk. It's found in Perek Yud Zayin, Parsha Shoftim, Pasuk Ches. Please look inside. It's a very important pasuk that you have to stay inside, and I'm hoping the listeners who hear this will also at some point take out a chumash and look inside. Shoftim Yud Zayin Ches. Ki yipolei mimcha dovar la mishpat, vein dom le dom, vein din le din, uvein nega lo nega. The pasuk is talking about that there's a matter of judgment that's hidden from you. between one blood and another, between a verdict and another, a plague and another plague, divrei rivois b'sharecha, matters of dispute in your city, to resolve it, you should go up and ascend to the place that Hashem chose. I think that pasuk was crystal clear. This pasuk is talking about divrei rivois b'sharecha. Now, before I tell you the pshat from the Arizal, you have to hear the pashut pshat. The pasuk is talking about examples of possible disputes that could come up amongst people. Dum l'dum, the halachic status of a particular blood sample. Din l'din, there's a dispute that comes up. Is the person innocent? Is the person guilty? The one being accused. Be'nega lo nega, which means regarding different forms of tziras. So whenever these things are divrei rivois b'sharecha, matters of dispute, and you need that it should be decided correctly, what should you do to resolve the machlokes and dispute? The kamta v'alisa l'makom asher yivcha Hashem l'kecha boy. You should go to the Sanhedrin, which is located in the proximity of the Beis Hamikdash. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests his Shechina, and that's where the decision will be rendered and then be binding. I think that was very clear how to understand the pasuk. I want to make one thing you have to hear again, that the word divrei rivois b'sharecha, which mean matters of dispute, it's referring to there might be a dispute regarding the dam l'dam, the blood sample, or din l'din, regarding the accused, is he or she guilty or innocent? Be'nega l'nega, regarding the blemish of tziras, what's the status? If disputes regarding any of these three, by example, come up, what should you do to render the decision? The kamta ve'elisa l'mokom asher yivcha Hashem l'kech, which is a reference to going to the Sanhedrin in the Beis Hamikdash where the Shechina resides. Darizal. I open your heart to a powerful, powerful pshat from the Arizal. The Heilig Arizal translates this pasuk al pidrush. Now I will tell you, especially because there are many who will be listening to this, Bezus Hashem, you want to follow this inside as I tell it to you. You want to look at this pasuk inside. The Arizal explains the pasuk al pidrush. And he says, if you think about it, there are a number of halachos that the Torah demands of us, and yet, although the Torah demands of us, it seems to be that the hanhaga, the way that Klal Yisrael is dealt with, is not the way that those halachos seem to be told by the Torah. And the Arizal uses these three as examples. I'll repeat what we just said. That means the Torah says the halacha is a specific thing, and yet it doesn't seem to be that the anhaga, as it relates to Klal Yisrael, the individual Jew in the community, seems to be that way. Why the difference? By example, says Arizal. And let's start the pasuk together. Let's read it together. You find yourself wondering, it's a pella, it's a wonder, la mishpat, regarding the justice, meaning the Torah says one thing, yet we seem to be treated differently. And that to me is a pella, that's a wonder. Would you like an example? Bein dom l'dom, regarding one blood and another. We know there's a halacha when it comes to blood. There's something called kisui hadam, to cover the blood. When one slaughters an oif, when one kills an oif, a bird that's nishchat, that's slaughtered, there is a halacha of kisui hadam, to cover up the blood. Yet if you take a look, when it came to the blood of Klal Yisrael, it doesn't seem like our blood was covered up. It seems like tragedy after tragedy, our blood, excuse me, seems sometimes, Chalila Rachmana Litzlom, to be flowing in the streets. As the Pasuk says, Nishbach Domam Kamayim Sevivos Yerushalayim Ve'ein Koyver. So it doesn't seem like our Jewish blood is having kisui hadam. In other words, of course, it's a play on words, but that's what he says it means, bein dam ledam. That regarding the halacha of one dam, one blood, we're told there's kisui hadam. You cover the blood of an oif shenishchat. Yet how many times has it been with Klal Yisrael? Of course you're thinking Simchas Torah October 7th as I say these words. Of course that's what's going through your mind. And one tragedy after another. You're thinking of so many as I say these words. When it comes to another dam, another blood, there the blood seemed to flow, the Har Nof massacre. Therein seemed to be Kisei Hadam, the covering of blood then. Let's take a look at the next one. Bein din ledin. Din means a judgment. Do you know that in Parashas Emor it says regarding Shechita, the Pasuk says in Emor, and I quote, when it comes to a shor and a seh, Oisai ve'ef benoi lo yishchatu b'yayim echad. When it comes to an ox or a sheep or a goat, you're not allowed to slaughter it and its offspring on the same day. But wonders Arizal regarding another din. How many times have we found in Klal Yisrael, you're thinking the Holocaust now, I'm sure, that there was a mother and a child on the same day that were slaughtered and murdered. There were entire families and generations that were wiped out in but a moment. But what about the din? If it's a din in the Torah, then why didn't it apply to Jewish life? And let's take the third one. De nega lo nega, which means regarding the blemish of tzeiras, when the kohen comes to the house to examine if the nega on the person or the house is tamei or tahor, we're first told take all of the vessels out of the house, because if there is tumah, we don't want the vessels to become tamei. We're so concerned about the vessels, so we're told take them out of the house, because we're so careful. Shal Torah chas al mamonim shel Yisrael. If we're so careful about vessels and the money of Klal Yisrael, then how could it be the clay hamigdash? The Kalim of the Beit HaMikdash, the Menorah Hazov, the Kalim of the Beit HaMikdash. Loichomo Hashem Elohitir L'tamei Yosem B'yad Zedainos. The enemies entered the Beit HaMikdash and did defile the Kalim. My Rabbi Rabbeise asks the Arizal, what is going on over here? Ki Yipalei Mimcha Dover LaMishpot. It's a pillar! And you wonder, La Mishpat, how could there seem to be what apparently is so incongruous regarding these halachas? Bein dam ledam. There's a halacha blood of Kisei Hadam. But yet, Klal Yisrael, many times, Rachmanu Litzlan, the blood flowed down the street, and there was no Kisei Hadam. Bein din ledin. There's a din in the Torah. I just read you the Pasuk. And yet how many times were there a mother and a child, families, slaughtered on the same day? They nega lo nega were so concerned to take the kalim out of the home so they shouldn't become tummy. But what about the kalim of the base hamigdash? So how could there be what seems to be such an incongruity regarding these halachas? In both directions, says the Arizal, the next three words of the Pasuk answer it. Divrei rivos bisharecha. It's because there's riv, there's dispute, there's machloikes, there's lack of shalom, and bein adam lechaveroi. And that says the Halig Arizal, machloikes biyitzrael. When there's machloikes in Klal Yisrael, and there's a lack of behavior bein adam lechaveroi, that could be, that is the siba for all these dinim neira'is that we just mentioned. What an extraordinary, extraordinary way to read the pasuk. I hope the profundity and the depth was not lost, neither in quantity or quality, on anybody. The answer to all those questions we just asked is one answer. Divrei rivos bisharecha. Because of the riv, the machloikes. Sometimes the irreparable damage that happens in families or communities because of that machloikes, that dissension, that fighting, divrei ribos b'sharecha, when there is that riv and machlokes that unfortunately is so prevalent, and there's such a breakdown in bein adam lechaveroi, then you could have all of those seemingly incongruous situations that we mentioned. Nope. Elul, ohov lemala. How will the Ribbono Shel Olam find us to be ohov v'nechmad lemata, by becoming someone who's cherished bein adam lechaveroi, by removing the machlekes, by removing the riv? Rabbeisai, I am speaking to myself and all those who are listening. It's non-negotiable. Everyone has the ability to remove the riv, to remove the machlekes, to become someone who is nechmad lemata. And when you are nechmad lemata, you become ohov lemala. I must add a beautiful comment, because you might notice that I did most of the pasuk, but I stopped after the word divrei ribos b'sharecha. This past Shabbos, I had the wonderful schus and opportunity. I was in Gibraltar, and there, Shabbos afternoon in Gibraltar, I was giving a shir to the community, and it was a fabulous, fabulous experience. A wonderful, wonderful, and unique kehila, indeed a kehila. And I was speaking, I did not mention this pshat of the Arizal, but I was speaking about the topic of being someone who becomes nechmad lemata, someone who can accomplish. You thought you couldn't make shalom? You thought you couldn't get rid of machlekes? You can. So a young fellow came over to me and, quoting this pasuk, says, perhaps we could look at the next few words and carry on this theme. After it says, divrei ribos b'sharecha, you might say to yourself, Rabbi Yisrael, look inside the pasuk, you'll enjoy it more. You might say to yourself, there's so much machloikis, there's so much pettiness, there's so much of the bickering that's taking place. What can I do? What's the next word? Higher ability. What's the next word after divrei ribos b'sharecha? Say it for all to hear. Vekanta! What does Vekanta mean? Vekanta literally means you should get up and go to Yerushalayim, but he wanted to translate it in Gibraltar to mean Vekanta! Get up and rise above it! Get up and rise above it and be better than, and be bigger than the machlekes, as you can. The key to success lies in the word Vekanta. Vekanta! Get up. Get up meaning stand up, rise up, get up. You can be bigger and better than the machlokes. You could be the one to make the phone call and be marba shalom. You could be the one to end the machlokes. Divrei ribos b'sharecha, there's one thing you could do. Vekanta, vekanta, vekanta. Get up. Rise up to the challenge. New Rabbi Yisai, are you in or not? Because then the pasuk says, when you become a vekamta person, the alisa el amokim, amokim is of course also a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the alisa el amokim, you have now risen to the place of Hashem. You have now attached yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The alisa el amokim in our interpretation can certainly mean you have become ohov lemala. Rabbi Sai, this is something that we be'ezras Hashem can do. Vekamta, become that person that rises up, that's able to take the challenge and rise above it, be the one to make the call, be the one to be mar b'sholem, be the one to bring about reyos meidon l'chaveir. When you become vekamta, you merit the alisa el hamakim. You have now risen to the makom, meaning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is indeed what we said. If you become the nechma lemata, what do you merit? Ohov lemala. I think you find the same thing at the same theme at the end of the parsha. It's interesting because, as you know, Chayyeh Rebbeinu, We're learning at night Soita, the Gemara on Daf Mem Vav, and it's the entire sugya of Egla Arufa, the famous unsolved murder. You don't know who murdered this person, so Beis Din will measure the city that's closest, and the Chachomim, the Zikne Ha'ir of the city that's closest. This is the end of Parsha Shoftim. Egla Arufa, they take that heifer, they axe it, it's called the Egla Arufa, and that should serve as an atonement. And of course, what the elders call out, what the Kohanim, what's said, the Pasuk tells us is, V'onu V'omru, the elders say, Yodeinu Loishav Ches Adam Hazeh, we did not spill this blood. And of course, Rashi says, did it enter your mind that the elders did murder this person? So of course, Rashi famously tells us that what it means is the elders are saying that we were not presented with a situation where he was in our city and we didn't escort him or we didn't provide him food. That situation did not present ourselves, meaning to say, in that sense, we're not culpable, we're not liable. Yadeinu l'shav ches adam hazeh. It didn't happen that he was here and that we were lack in our derech eretz responsibilities by not providing food or by providing levaya escorting him. The implication of Rashi is, because if someone is in your city and he leaves, but you allow him to leave without food and you don't escort the wayfarer out of town, that then you wouldn't be able to say we're not responsible for his death, meaning you did somehow cause his death. Now the question on that is obvious, and we've mentioned this in previous years. The person came to my city and I didn't escort him as he left town and that was responsible for a person killing him? He died and he was killed and somebody murdered him because I didn't escort him? Levaya is nice. You remember we learned this before the Tisha B'Av. Levaya is nice. Levaya is extremely important, escorting somebody. But to the point that could it be said that if I didn't, I'm responsible for his death? There are many answers that are given, but famously the Musar masters, the Bali Musar, tell us, most notably it could be seen from the Alter von Kelm, that when you accompany your guest, even if it's a short distance, you give him a feeling of importance. I mean something to you? I'm worthy that you escorted me, Dalet Amos? I have some importance in your eyes that I mean something? When the person has that sense of importance, they feel an inner fortitude. They don't feel vulnerable. And when you don't feel vulnerable and you feel the inner fortitude, you can overcome dangers. You can overcome enemies. You can overcome things that you encounter on your forthcoming travel. Because when you encourage somebody, when you give them a sense of value and a sense of importance, he never truly feels alone. He feels the love. He feels the inner strength. And so, yes, escorting him even Dalet Amos conveys that empowering feeling. And when you withhold it, you make the person feel vulnerable. I'm not even important enough that you should walk me down to the sidewalk? I'm not enough that you go ahead and consider me epis vos to escort me a few feet? When a person feels vulnerable and they don't feel that love and they don't feel that importance or sense of empowerment, they indeed become vulnerable, and that could bring about the dangers and even his death. But when you escort somebody, you show them chashivas. You show them importance. You mean something to me. I wish I could walk you even further. but at least now I'm showing you that you're important to me, you mean something to me, and that gives the person that inner strength. They feel good about themselves. That they're able to then face certain challenges and vicissitudes, because without Levoya, danger could lurk. What a myridic of art. And like I told you, it's based on this pshat from the Alta von Kelm. And I think the end of the parsha is such a fabulous tie into the beginning of the parsha. We mentioned a pshat from the Arizal, how much we have to do to remove divrei rivois b'sharecha, how much we have to do to become the person of vekamto, vekamto, vekamto. And when you become that person, you are the one that is valisa el amokum. You become the one that's ohuv lemala, because you are nechmad lemata. And that's what the end of the parasha is teaching us. Show people a sense of importance. Show people a sense of friendship. Show people a sense of, you mean something to me. And I don't think it's hyperbole based on this pshat to say it's the difference between life and death. Is that not the pshat of Egla Arufa? I want to end this shir with a pshat that is so very powerful. I feel it's one of the most powerful pshatim that we've ever said. I actually hope Bezus Hashem to say it over on Rosh Hashanah as well. I really feel it is one of the most powerful pshatim we've ever said. And I feel that it ties the whole shir together. If you take a look at the beginning of Sefer Iyov, who suffered so incredibly and so greatly, in the beginning of Iyov we find the Pasuk tells us, Satan challenges with the following challenge, when you have a chance, open up your Iyov to the first perek, read these few psukim, it'll be even more powerful. So Satan shows up, and Satan tells Hashem he was wandering and walking about the earth. In Pasuk Ches, Vayemer Hashem el HaSatan, Hasamto Libchal Avdi Iyov, Hashem says to Satan, did your heart see and take note of my servant Iyov? Ein kamayu ba'aretz. There's no one like Iyov. Ishtam v'yosher yirei elikim. Iyov has everything, says the Ribbono Shel Olam to Satan. Satan says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but there's a protective wall around him and his household and everything he owns. He's extremely wealthy. He's been blessed. His handiwork has been blessed. His livestock has spread throughout the land. But if something were to happen to all that Iyov has, would he still serve you the same way? Hashem says in Pasuk Yudbeis, Vayemer Hashem el Satan, everything that is his, kol asher lo biyadecha, I'm putting it in your hands, meaning you have permission to test him and test him and challenge him, take everything away from him. And those of you, Baruch Hashem was telling Satan, you'll see that he'll still serve me the same. He'll still be ein kamoyu b'chol ha'aretz, ish tom v'yosher, no one like Iyov, even if you challenge him and take everything away. But then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Rak elov al tishlach yadecha, the only thing you can't take away from him is his life. You can challenge him with everything, but by mamsh taking away and setting forth your hand against him himself, his life, that you can't do. But everything else, so to speak, is fair game. So let me ask you, Akasha. If you take a look, a large part of the rest of Sefer Iyov is Iyov talking to his three friends and telling his three friends this entire story. That means he had friends. He had three friends that he was talking to. But Satan Taka took away everything from him. He took away his wealth. He took away this. He took away that. He challenged him with this. He challenged him with that. But if he had permission to take away everything except for his life, then why didn't Satan also take away his friends? vice nice it must be, because your friends are your life. So important is it to have good friends. They could be life itself. And so part and parcel of the Ribbono Shel Olam telling Satan a love, him you can't touch, so then by extension he couldn't do anything, Satan couldn't do anything to the friends, because your friends are your lifeline, your friends are your life. And that, taking and touching and harming his friends, is a love, is harming Eiv himself. And that was off limits. What a pshat. Heard this in the name of a number of people. That's the importance of having good friends and of being a good friend. That's the importance of a proper chaver, chaverim kol Yisrael. Because being a good friend and having good friends, quite literally, are life itself. And that's the pshat in Egla Arufa. Because when you don't show him the importance of friendship, and when you don't show him the importance of escorting him, it could indeed bring about his being killed. That's the pshat, friends equal life. And without friends, without that feeling, you could end up with a situation of an Egla Arufa. And of course, Chazal tell us, oh, chavrusa oy misusa, we need chaveirim, otherwise it's death. May we taka bizoicha, moira virabosai, as we're beginning Elul. Let us work on becoming that person that is nechmod lemata. Let us work on becoming that person that's vikamta. Rise up! Rise up! Well, then merit v'alisa el hamakim. Will merit being the one that's ahuv lemala. And may we taka bizeiche to a chaydesh elul, where we work on ourselves, where we fulfill ahuv lemala v'nechma lemata, and may we all bizeiche to a ksiva v'chasima toiva and a kut gebench de yar.